What'd you spill?
Oh, that's a
bit. Yep, that's my old man, and he suffers from terrible hemorrhoids. Once a spry young buck, now just another swollen lump in his rump.
Can you at least not be
so this Father's Day, give Dad the gift of Preparation H.
Jake.
Thanks to Preparation H, my dad can finally do the things he loves, like watching the game and yelling at his son. Preparation H, it's what Dad's been itching for.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, July 8th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Tass Mellis.
Fellow sports lovers, how are you?
Hello, Tass. Got the Top Shot Hot Boy, fellow freak, Trey Kirby.
Hey.
Hey, yo, man. Beat me to the punch, man.
Sorry, bud. I'm excited today.
All right. It's okay. I like it. I got the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, the man making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a quick second, everybody. Smash that like button. And if you haven't already, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and leave a video. Or, I mean, leave a comment. Now you got me on this popularity. You know I don't like when my intros are not smooth. Anyway, leave. If you can figure it out, leave a video in the comments below this
leave
video.
A video comment. We'll Let's see if it works. Wow, man. I don't know. I really jumped the gun there, huh?
Well, yeah, sometimes I've been saying fellow freak. Sometimes I haven't. But I didn't say your name and you were already
it didn't come up at all. Yeah, that one I know.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Keep sending in your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. And finally, go grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Got the No Dunks NBA Finals Collection shirts for Bucks and Suns fans. I see Tassie rocking a classic purple No Dunks t-shirt today. Man, that just pops on the screen, Tass. It just looks good.
It does. Yeah. I took it off my boxing dummy.
Oh, yeah.
He's been wearing it for months. He's stretched it out. Like, I got a bacon neck on here. Bob is really muscular. He's a tank.
There you go. All right. On today's show here, we're going to preview game two of the NBA Finals, which, of course, tips tonight. Probably guessing or looking at a bullseye tip of 9-11 again, maybe 9-12. Hopefully. TK, you got tweet of the night. But first, yesterday, the NBA unveiled a commemorative 75th anniversary season logo, which will appear throughout next season on courts and official merchandise and inside arenas and all over the broadcasts and social media. In their press release, they wrote, "The new logo is a fresh take on the league's iconic logo man identity based in the classic 75th anniversary symbol, the diamond." So, Trey, what do you think of this logo? Are you a fan of this? Is it a little too simple? People said it looks like a Domino's pizza box. What do you think?
Okay, now I've changed my mind completely because it does look a little bit like a Domino's pizza box, but I don't know if this is an up-down report. I'm actually two thumbs up on this. I love a specialty logo from the NBA. We've seen them, you know, teams go to the finals, they'll throw a trophy on there. Maybe it's a Christmas Day game. You get a snowflake or something like that. And here we got the 75th anniversary. I listened to a lot of rap music in the early 2000s, so of course I love diamonds. Everybody get your roll on. I like loud pipes, big rims, mo ice. I also like how the basketball lines kind of serve as the facets on the diamond right there, you know? It gives it a little bit of a twinkle. The only things I'm not a big fan of, I don't love the 75 on there because, I don't know, if you throw some Googles down, you can find out that the diamond anniversary can either be for your 60th wedding anniversary or your 75th. So I guess the NBA's got to clarify here. 75 years. But adding that makes me a little concernicus that this thing is going to be massive when we finally see it on jerseys looking like a college football Rose Bowl patch or something like that. But as long as it's a normal size, as long as it's not too intrusive on your shoulder there, this is cool. I like diamonds, man.
All right, Tass, what do you think? Just quickly here. You all right with this? A lot of people were like, come on, this is boring. Also, people, I think, expected the logo to be actually changed from Jerry West, the logo man, to, you know, whatever player you want. You know, I saw a lot of people saying that. We never thought that was going to happen, but what do you think of it?
Well, I would have been really shocked if people liked something. That's what I would have been shocked with. That would have been the biggest craze. Of course, we're going to see all the outrage. I think it's All right. Of course, Jerry West should be the logo. They shouldn't change the logo. I don't think for any reason. I think it'll look good on the court. I think when we look back after this 1 year run that it'll have, I think we'll like it.
Okay. And Lee, what do you think of the logo here?
Yeah, I'm actually the same with Tass there. I'm like, people will just hate anything. There's nothing wrong with this. Yes, it's a little boring, but I think that's also right for the NBA. Just don't go crazy with this so people like absolutely destroy the league for it. Instead, it's just like, okay, simple. Let's really get into what it's representing and symbolizing rather than just what this logo is. It's just like an extension of the NBA logo. That's all it is. That's all they needed to do. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Well, as most of you probably know, the 50 greatest players in NBA history, they were chosen in 1996 to honor the then 50th anniversary of the founding of the NBA. Those 50 players, they were selected through a vote by a panel of media members and former players and coaches and current and former general managers. I am guessing, guys, right? There's been no report about this or no official release from the NBA, but I'm guessing we're going to get an updated list at some point, maybe this summer, maybe early next season, maybe even till the All-Star break, who knows, celebrating the 75 greatest players in NBA history. So we thought it would be fun here to sort of just start the debate now. Now, we're not going to do all 25 additions to the list of 50. Well, that's actually an interesting question. If they do this 75 greatest players in NBA history, are they going to go back and edit their 50 greatest players in NBA history? Like, will people be bounced? I don't think so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think it's Craig McTavish here. Your grandfather did.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Can't edit a tweet. Can't edit the list. No.
That's exactly right. Okay. So anyway, I'm with you guys. I agree with that. So we're not going to do all 25 here. Well, we could save that for a summer podcast. That would be, that'd be perfect. But there are some definite no-brainers, you know, guys that absolutely would have to be on this updated list. So we gave Lee a little homework last night, and you get the floor here, LS2.
Yes.
Hit us with, I think you wanted to do 12 automatic additions to the 75 greatest players in NBA history. Is that right?
That is right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about this for a while, so when you put that in the Slack yesterday, I was like, yes, I've finally got this. I can put this out there into the world, and, you know, I can live with it. Because, look, it's kind of easy at the start.
Yeah.
But as you get closer, and if you do cut it off at 25, there's some incredibly tough decisions to be made there by the league. I just think the biggest decision is, will they do it at halftime during an All-Star game when some of the players come out in their jackets and they're all sweating like they did in 97. I don't think they're going to do that again because I think that was a mistake. But so when I made my list, I tried to sort of guess the criteria they used in 97 because they were all very accomplished players, but some hadn't been in the league that long and some hadn't really had, you know, all that much team or individual success. For example, Shaq had been to the finals, but he hadn't won MVP in 97. He'd only been in the league 5 years, but of course, you know, he turned out to be a safe bet.
Yeah, David nailed that one, yeah.
Yeah, David Robinson the same. You know, he'd been an MVP, but had a couple of, you know, sort of fall overs in the playoffs and hadn't even been to the finals yet. But, you know, again, he proved to be worthy of his spot. Also, so I made 12, right?
Yep.
But then I've got three more sort of what you got for you guys. I'm going to throw those out there for you guys to debate.
Okay, I love it.
And when I made these, I didn't take into account any international or college success because unlike the Hall of Fame, this is an NBA-only award. So only NBA accolades and achievements were taken into consideration. Okay?
So we will not be seeing Yao Ming on this list?
Exactly. Manu Ginobili, you know, guys like they didn't get any consideration based on their NBA success. Now, these are my 12 automatics, pretty much in order, but, you know, you can haggle over the order if you want. But here they are. Number one, LeBron. Number two, Kobe. Number three, Kevin Durant. Number four, Tim Duncan. Number five, Steph Curry.
Okay,
that's the top five. Number six, Dennis Rodman.
Dirk. Whoa. Okay.
Dennis Rodman's automatic for me, no question about it. Five-time champ, defensive player of the year, rebounding, just incredible. The impact he had on the teams he was at, I think Dennis Rodman is a lock to get in there. Dirk Nowitzki, he's a lock. Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, he's going to get in. And Chris Paul may just get that championship as well that's eluded him to this point of his career. Allen Iverson gets in, of course. I don't think anyone would really dispute that. I mean, you can sort of pick a little bit at his playoff career after that one season in 2001, but Allen Iverson's getting in, no doubt about it. Kevin Garnett gets in, mm-hmm. and then my number 12 is Grant Hill. Grant Hill, you know, obviously never won MVP, never won a championship. But for me, his first like 6 years, he was an all-star every year. He was on his way to being, in my opinion, top 10, top 15 of all time if the injuries didn't really sort of mess up his career at the end of it. You know, seven-time all-star, five-time all-NBA, and pre-injury, I mean, he was just an incredible player. So I think he gets in. And he's also such a beloved guy, so popular, he's so well-liked. So I think he gets in. I can't imagine he misses out.
Okay. Anyway. So hit me with those 12 as you knock over your mic.
I know. I'm doing it again here. Okay, the 12 in order. LeBron, Kobe, Kevin Durant, Tim Duncan, Steph Curry, Dennis Rodman, Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, Allen Iverson, Kevin Garnett, and Grant Hill in my top 12.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I got to say, Dennis Rodman is the big surprise there as an automatic. You had him in, like, your top six there.
Yeah, I mean, you can haggle over those. But looking at it, Dennis Rodman's going to get in for sure, I think. Okay, so matchup one. This is for position number 13, okay? And I'll present the accolades first, and then you can sort of see if you who you're thinking of in your mind. Okay, this guy's still playing, but he's a Hall of Fame lock when he retires. Six-time All-NBA, 10-time All-Star, has 27,000 points currently, could even crack 30,000 points, but he would need to play at least two more seasons. Didn't have 1,000 points this season, but was close. 13 trips to the playoffs, but only twice out of the first round. This guy, any guesses? Carmelo Anthony, that's him.
Yes.
He is going up against a guy who is in the Hall of Fame. Only a three-time All-NBA, only a five-time All-Star. But this guy has 25,000 points. Obviously, he's retired. He's not playing anymore.
Reggie.
But he had Reggie Miller, 15 trips to the playoffs, finals in 2000, and a huge reputation in the playoffs. Big moments, big games. Someone who really stepped up in the playoffs and performed a lot of time. So I think those two, you know, similar sort of positions, obviously lots of scoring there, not a ton of defense. But if you had to pick one of those two players, who would you guys
Holy
pick?
Holy crap, you can only pick one.
Yeah, that's what.
Wow. That's tough. That's tough. You didn't have Ray Allen in your mix either there, did you?
Well, you know, there's so many what about this guy.
For sure.
Yeah. But I felt this one was a really good debate because I think you've got a lot of Carmelo fans, obviously, people who love Carmelo. But I think Reggie, you know, in those 90s, you think about Reggie Miller and you think playoffs first, in my opinion. You think, you know, the battles against the Knicks. He made the finals against the Lakers. Yeah, the push off of Jordan, like automatically – I think when you think of Carmelo playoffs, it's like there's not a whole lot there, even though he scored more points. So, you know, the more individual accolades as well. But
it's an interesting one. It's when tough, you look at a top 75 list, it'd be hard to keep a guy who's top 10 in scoring all time off the list.
That's very true.
And Carmelo Anthony. So it's one of those things. It's not like who are you taking on your team? Because that's a different debate. You might take Ridge at the two guard, but I think Melo with this type of list has to be on it.
Okay,
who has more first team appearances on the All NBA team? That would be the determining factor for me. Yeah. I think Tass is right here. A top 10 scorer all time, you got to go Melo over Reggie. Not to mention, Reggie would have been eligible for a top 50 players back in 1997. Didn't add a whole bunch to his career from an accolade standpoint after 97. He did go to the finals, like you're saying, Lee, but no championship for either of them. I think you're going Melo over Reggie here, but I mean, that's a great matchup between those two.
Lee, I have some questions that I don't know if you have the answers to. Did Alex English make the initial list? You know,
I believe he did.
I think he did too. Yes. So he's on the 50 greatest players in NBA history. I bring that up because Melo is sort of along those lines, just an unbelievable scorer, like one of the greatest in the game ever. So I think I would lean towards him over Reggie if I had to pick just one of the two. And then is Dominique Wilkins on the 50 greatest players list?
I believe he was too.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure about that as well. Okay. I would go Melo if I had to pick between the two, but I could see... I definitely, with 25 slots, I could see both of them getting in there.
Yeah, and I just sort of think those two, because they have you know, as many points as they've scored, it could be down to sort of, oh man, one of those two guys. But Melo wins in a sweep here, 3-0. So
I think Dominique, actually.
I was going to say.
I don't think he's there.
Yeah, Yeah.
The W's, Walton, West, Wilkins, Lenny, and Worthy. Yeah,
I didn't think so. See? Okay. Crazy. Okay. Crazy.
All right. All right. Number two. Matchup number two. Matchup number two here. Okay, this guy is a Hall of Famer. Only a two-time All-NBA, although he was a seven-time All-Star, and he was a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. A 10-year career, the first 10 years of his career, basically a 20-10 guy. Never won MVP, but he did finish second 1 year and third in another. Injuries and illness really derailed the second half of his career, but he picked up a title. Surprisingly, only finished with 14,000 points and 7,000 rebounds. But I think he gets in. Any guesses?
But sorry, I wasn't paying attention because I want to clarify. No Alex English, no Dominique Wilkins in the top.
Jesus,
15.
Guys,
nobody knows anything.
Lee, did you even look at the initial list?
I did, but I. No, a lot of names, I thought right. Nick was already in. I thought Nick was already in actually, but yeah. Anyway, he's not. Yeah. Anyway,
Alonzo Mourning.
Alonzo Mourning, yes. Okay. Alonzo Mourning is in there. Now he goes up against another player who is in the Hall of Fame, 8-time All Star, 7-time All NBA, a 2-time MVP. 17,000 points and 10,000 assists for his career. Good playoff performer, but unfortunately never made the finals.
Steve Nash. So Steve Nash or Alonzo Mourning playing against each other.
Yeah, and the reason I put these two against each other was because Steve Nash is a two-time MVP. Some people feel perhaps a little bit lucky to win both of those, and Alonzo Mourning perhaps a little bit unlucky to not win MVP one season. But also, both of them, you know, Nash with the 10,000 assists, that's fine. But only 17,000 points. I know he wasn't a score-first guy. I thought he had a few more than that. So I sort of put them together because they both had probably a little fewer of their sort of primary accolades or stats than you might think, even though Nash, you know, he did break the 10,000 assist barrier. So,
sorry, Lee. Great comment from Ziggy. He's always got the great comments. Alonzo Mourning versus Steve Nash, a classic debate.
That's why I said it's not. This is not a positional thing.
No. It's hard.
I didn't want to make it like always like that. I wanted to make it like, okay, so what did you put? Like Alonzo Mourning, one of the greatest defenders the league's ever seen. Steve Nash, not a great defender, but one of the great passers, great facilitators on offense. And Alonzo Mourning, I think people forget the first 10 years of his career. It was a beast, 20-10. But then he had the kidney transplant and obviously became a role player later in his career, where Steve Nash started his career off a little bit slower and then really sort of excelled in those sort of middle to late years. So Steve Nash versus Alonzo Mourning.
It's a
Nash. He's going to be included in the 75 thing. He's a 2-time MVP. I mean, Giannis, for crying out loud, could be on this list.
Should probably
be on this list. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I left Giannis off. I thought, you know, that's a little bit early there. But I'm surprised. I don't think it's a
blowout.
Alonzo
is interesting overall. Like, will he make the cut? Or, like, will he be one of those, like, whoa, how is he not on it? I don't know. There are so many guys we haven't even listed yet here. Like,
I know.
Zoe might get pushed out. Like, he may not.
I don't think Alonzo Mourning is going to really be close to the top 75. And to be honestly, I hate to say it, I don't think Grant Hill's going to be in the top 75 either.
Interesting. I mean, yeah. It depends on, like, these players, you know, how much do we sort of put into the bracket of, like, you were a great player, but then injuries did sort of slow you down. A guy who I was really surprised at, Penny Hardaway, he didn't have the numbers that I thought he had. He had like a good 4 or 5 years there where it's like, and because originally I was like, oh, Penny Hardaway's in. I'm like, oh my God, no way. He's not even going to get close. But again, Alonzo Mourning, I think you look at those first 10 years of his career. 10 years is a career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible. It's like if you lived through that era, you know, they sway your formative years, the way you looked at basketball, right? Like, you loved Grant, you loved Alonzo Mourning. For a lot of people, Nash, there's no way he can't be a lock.
Yeah,
and as you said, 17,000 points. You'd think, you know, he played so long. His teams led the league in scoring so many times. You'd think he'd get up there. It's just this idea you put in your head. Of course, he scored 20,000. But it's all like you put Grant in. But as Trey said, I'm sure somebody now would think, even though he would have been, as you said, like a top 10, top 15 player, he didn't quite get there, unfortunately, with the accolades, you know, even though they're really great, obviously.
But he was one of those guys that, you know, at the start, like from a rookie, was in the All-Star game as well. Like, he had the popularity, had the numbers, you know, he had the hype, and he was living up to it. But then he lost 4 years of his prime to injuries and still managed to sort of drag out his career and be a good player. But anyway,
unfortunately, that's the case for the entirety of the NBA, right? We're talking about entire careers, not peaks for this, I think. And I think that matters because people get hurt playing in the NBA. Lots of guys have great 5-year stretches. Lots of guys have great 10-year stretches. Being able to have a great 20-season career, I think that's super impressive. And I actually think Giannis will be a top 75 guy. It's not dissimilar to Shaq back in 97. He only played a couple of seasons, but the guy's got 2 MVPs already. I mean, that's going to easily get you into this list, I think.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. A good debate if you had to pick between one or the other. Grant Hill's career or Vince Carter's career?
Well, Vince was one I was going back and forth on because, again, just the longevity of his career. But I'm like, it's interesting with Vince because he played forever, scored a ton of points, but obviously the playoff success really wasn't there for him either, you know? And how much longer did he just sort of drag his career out for? But I think he gets in anyway just because it's like, you played forever, man, you're in.
Vince went from
all criteria.
Hey, listen, I don't know.
Kind of is.
We don't need to see Tree Rollins on this list.
But that's what I mean. I don't know what the criteria is, and I'm not sure how they debate them and how they're going to pick these out. Anyway, that's great. So we've got Steve Nash in a blowout and Carmelo in a blowout as well.
Yeah, right.
Okay, number three, Hall of Famer, 9-time All NBA, 9-time All Star, Defensive Player of the Year winner, and a rare non big to win this award.
Yep.
21,000 points, 9,000 assists, 4th all-time in steals, a good playoff performer, and did win a championship with Zoe, actually, but at the tail end of his career. Going up against, also a Hall of Famer, 7-time All-NBA, 7-time All-Star, really dominant 8-year stretch from 2000 to 2008. That's where he did most of his work, but only finished with 18,000 points and famously never really, never went beyond the first round of the playoffs.
Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
JP versus Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
Here we go. Now, that's a hell of a, that's nice. That's a fun debate right there. If you could only have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, to me, this is a little like Nash versus Mourning because Gary Payton is a little bit more embedded in the history books of the NBA, in the story of the NBA, like Nash is to me. Like he just... He was the 90s. He was a bit of a foil to MJ. He's got an incredible nickname. He was a mouthpiece. I can't take T-Mac against Gary Payton. I get when you go player versus player, but for me, some of the stories about them, the lore kind of plays into my pick. So I got GP.
Trey?
I think I'm Gary Payton here as well. He's got some major NBA accomplishments. He went to the finals as a star. He won a championship as a role player. Tracy McGrady, I mean, he's top 75 players of the past 25 years. I would agree with that, but I don't think he's... I don't think I'm taking him over Gary Payton, unless you're talking pants. Widest pants, Tracy McGrady, but Gary Payton I'm taking for a player.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, like, because of our age, too. Like, you know, just learning that Dominique Wilkins isn't even in there is like, what the hell? Well, you got to correct that. He's got to be in. And then, you know, I know GP at the time they made the 50 greatest players in NBA history, he probably wasn't there yet. Though he had had a lot of his accolades and was a great, great player, going to the finals around that time. That's why I lean towards him if I have to pick between the two. I think will Tracy be in there?
Tracy as a scorer, you know, for a couple of years there was like, I think he led the league in scoring twice. You know, he was so impressive like that. But he also, like, his career sort of tailed off a lot. His career ended a lot earlier, his prime anyway, than you sort of remember. I think he was only 31 when it basically had his last really good season. But for a couple of years there, I thought he was just incredible for, you know, 4 or 5 years. But then Gary Payton... a double end player, you know, played both ends of the floor. Really one of the most established sort of two-way defensive point guards in the league. You know, to win that award, the defensive player of the year from his position, you know, is extremely rare. So, you know, but McGrady was a better scorer, I think, than Gary Payton, you know. So, yeah.
This is like, is Mitch Richmond going to be on this list?
No.
I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame.
No. Yeah, no, he won't.
I know. I don't think so either. But you do wonder, Mutombo?
Exactly, Mutombo, you know.
Wow, it's going to be fascinating.
Like, does Yao Ming get the sort of, popular sort of vote? I don't think so. You know. So anyway, I say we've got Payton, Carmelo Anthony, and...
Baby.
Steve Nash.
Those all make sense. Make sense. I think they'll ultimately be included. What about, like we said, Giannis. I'm with you, Trey. I think he does get picked to this. Is Kawhi Leonard going to be on this?
Mm. Yeah.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's a multiple-time MVP. He's a defensive player of the year, or a finals MVP. He's a multiple-time All-Star, yep. multiple-time All-NBA. He took down LeBron in his prime. Like, that's super impressive. I think Kawhi is an easy ad here.
Dwight Howard?
No.
Yeah, Dwight is a good one.
Wow, really? You don't think so?
I don't. Now that I think about it, probably he's probably top 25 of the past 25 years. I would have him there over Alonzo Mourning.
Okay. Wow. I'm just trying to think of names we haven't said. Like, I mean, Harden and Westbrook are going to be
Harden. Yeah, James Harden. James Harden's in. I don't think Westbrook.
I mean, we keep saying guys are in. I don't know what number we're at this point, but we're getting damn close to 25 with the number of names we've said. So people are not going to be making it.
Well, another good debate is Paul Pierce. I mean, I don't like Paul Pierce at all, but it's hard to sort of knock, you know, his achievements. He won the championship. He won the finals MVP. I think he's the Celtics' all-time leading scorer. That's going to carry some weight for him. You know, and he had some big playoff moments as well. So he's going to be hard to keep out.
Yeah, if Jason they do Kidd. Line them up, if they line Jason them up Kidd, at sure. midcourt, if they line them up at midcourt, if Paul Pierce came out in a wheelchair while everybody was standing, he would win the day. He would win the day.
That would be very funny. This is the ultimate version of, hey, what about this guy?
God. Yeah,
you, like, this is to the max.
25 years of guys.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Well, 25, we're going back further, man. We're talking, Dominique's got to be in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. But the other thing is as well, will the NBA like to just add some international players just to sort of show a bit of variety there, like a Pau Gasol? You know, you got Dirk in already. You know, does Pau Gasol get in?
No.
You know,
I don't think so either. I mean, the names we're naming, I can't have them above.
If guys have similar careers, an international guy gets the nod just because he's international. Yeah, I think so. Like, if they have the exact same careers, I think like a Giannis gets a little tiny bump just because he's non-American, showing the globalization of the game.
Okay, who will be? So, is it going to be, who's going to be the Shaq of this list? Like, will they go? There's no way they go Luka.
Nah.
I'm with you.
I mean, Giannis is almost that.
Giannis will be.
I mean, he's got
MVPs
already, though. Is the big difference?
Yeah. Wow. Love it. Okay,
Zion.
I gotta say, your list, the crazy ones are Grant Hill. Just because, obviously.
Yeah, look, now I probably have a bias.
And the Rodman in your top 10, like a lock. We're looking for locks here. I don't think I agree with that. I think he's a more of a borderline actual 20, you know, the new 25 guys. That's what I was
saying. But see, Rodman, again, he has the playoff numbers. And he has the individual sort of achievement. Now, not the All-Star and the All-NBA, but the Defensive Player of the Year. And just the rebounding, you know, the freakish rebounding that he did. So I think he gets in. I think those five championships, two with the Pistons, three with the Bulls.
Sure. I see the stream team saying, could it be possible this version of Shaq for this new list? Could it be Jokic?
Yeah,
which is probably more comparable, like a borderline guy, and like you're taking a, not a borderline guy, you're like taking a chance, or you're hoping, fingers crossed, that if we name this guy, he goes on to win another MVP or whatever, have incredible numbers for another 5 to 10 years, maybe win a title or two. Like, yeah, that's what they were banking on with Shaq. He was just so damn dominant, they felt pretty comfortable doing it, and again, they nailed it. They got that one. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I could be swayed on Pau. I don't have the list of 25 guys in front of me of who I would take, but Pau, ooh, he's right there.
Well, here's a good one. Pau versus Chris Webber. Who would you take out of those two?
Right, well, yeah. I mean, we get, you get into the Pau Gasol, the Webber, the Chris Bosh, like that sort of, you know, level, I guess to call it, of guys is going to be fascinating. Who will be the most controversial? I mean, Westbrook.
Westbrook will be a big one.
Yeah. Either whether or not, because he makes it, people will be pissed, or if he doesn't make it, people will be pissed. Yeah, it'll be fun. Okay, well, we definitely got to turn this into a summer podcast where we hit you with the actual 25 guys that we think should be added. Yeah, we'll do that. That was fun, Lee. Good stuff. Yeah.
A Penny Hardaway for your thoughts, Lee. That
was... There you go. Penny,
I couldn't believe how few points and things that he scored. Like, it felt to me that Penny, for 5 or 6 years, was like, you know, he was one of the best players, but he really, that was his peak. That was all he really did. Mm-hmm. And he went from being like, I think Penny gets in. And I was like, he's got no chance. No chance.
No. Mm-mm.
So, but I remember him and probably a little bit the same with Grant Hill. I remember, like, for those years, like, oh my God, these guys are so good. And I think Grant Hill, I think Grant Hill gets in. I think he did enough in his dominant years to get in. And, you know, because he was, he changed the position a little bit. He was kind of that point forward, so athletic. He could score, he could rebound, he could pass the ball. He did it all.
You're just What's his
signature
man?
Moment? Yeah, that's the thing to me.
Have,
like,
he doesn't even have like
college. Is his signature
Walton
moment.
Has like in the NBA like yeah. the super highs of championships and stuff like that, and then a career sort of derailed. Like Hill doesn't even have that, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's.
If you have it's you just you were just loving basketball then. It's like your peak your peak love of music then, you know, that's when you were swayed, you know. Yeah, like if it's a neutral observer now, as good as Grant could have been, I don't think.
Yeah, but see I just wonder if the voters are like, yeah, Grant, we're going to give you a pass because of the injuries that you suffered. Because a lot of the voters, I think, are players who are already in there.
That's true. They're media and they're players and they're former and current GMs, or at least they were in 96, 97 when they did this. I assume.
And I'm putting Brandon Roy in there. Screw it.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now we're getting crazy. Okay. Let's take a break and then we'll start previewing game two of the NBA Finals.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Back with No Dunks, let's get into Game 2 of the NBA Finals tonight. Suns with the 1-0 series lead, of course. Biggest question, Tass, heading into this game, what is it to you?
Well, right off the top, the things I'm going to be watching are, is PJ Tucker on Chris Paul again? Is that possible? The matchups are going to be juicy from the get-go. Mike Boonhoser got a little cute from the get-go. Kudos to him. Everybody gets on the Bucks coach for not adapting. Well, he adapted right away, but PJ Tucker on Chris Paul, thinking the switch would work with him going to DeAndre Ayton when Ayton came and set that pick. Well, that's not going to happen. I think Jrue Holiday will be on Chris Paul, so that matchup is going to be what I'm watching right from the get-go, because maybe that took Jrue Holiday out of the game a little bit, being off the ball. I don't know, that's an excuse for him, but I think the Bucks just getting back to their defensive core, their values, and that's, you know, get Jrue on the point guard, and I think they should try and confuse Chris Paul as much as possible, because it's not really possible to confuse Chris Paul, but to throw the different coverages at him, you know, one after the other, your drop, your switch, and then going small with Giannis Antetokounmpo, all those, they got to be ready for that. Speaking of Giannis Antetokounmpo, you got to unleash the freak. You need more Greek freak. I think they're being a little bit cautious with him in his first game back. Now, Bud said, no, we were just playing, and that's what happened. But Giannis can't just take 11 shots. He's got to be more involved. They had only two times did they run that pick and roll where he's setting the screen. And then it's, you know, Red Rover, here comes Chris Middleton and Giannis just flying to the hoop together. How do you stop that? So I think you need more of that. Giannis looked good in game one. He should get better as the series goes on. He's just got to be more involved. And then I'm going to watch the free throw discrepancy because it went towards the Suns in game one. I don't think all the calls were great, but they were the ones imposing their will on the Bucks, so they should get more calls. But I assume that that's not going to happen in game two. I assume the Bucks will come back with a little bit more defensive effort, just like they sort of did from game to one, game two in the Eastern Conference Finals. Trey goes for 48 in game one. Will they come back and figure their way out in game two a little bit? Just get back to defensive principles. Brook in his position more. So figure that out. And then, of course, I'm going to be watching Devin Booker on the bench. We saw him with the label on his water bottle, the old bubble letters. Huge bubble letters that screamed book. Tons of memes coming out of that, including the Hooters logo in the book. I sent that to our friend Cam Stewart on Twitter. I would expect a great reaction from Cam, who likes Hooters and loves wings, but I don't think he really knows how to work Twitter that well, so that's probably what happened with our man Cam Stewart. Either way, the memes were great. Ayton's got a similar one. It just says Ayton on his, but I just love bubble letters. It's nice to see those back in the
NBA. I used to like write or draw, whatever you want to call, so many bubble letters when I was a kid, and 3D letters too. Had a big phase doing that for a while. Cool. Kids will never know that now. Now you're just on your computer, but that was a thing. A lot of doodling was happening when you were in school.
Back in my day, you had to make your own fonts.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so you're watching a lot of things there. Yeah, is Drew Holiday on Chris Paul, which we expect he should be at least a lot more, and how they play the pick-and-roll coverage, that's a huge part. You want Giannis involved a hell of a lot more. Hopefully that's okay with the knee and all that. And then, yeah, that free throw discrepancy, does it even out a little bit more? And just because the Bucks play with a little more aggressiveness. Good stuff there. Do you have anything to add, TK, of big questions heading into game two?
I want to see who Brook Lopez is guarding, because personally, I think he should be on Jay Crowder from the start here, and I think Giannis should be the guy taking Ayton. Like Tass is saying, the Bucks are going to need to switch up their coverages, which they did in game one. It was just kind of like a half-to-half thing. It almost has to be a possession-to-possession thing to at least make the Suns' backcourt, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, think about it for a second, you know, rather than just be like, here's what we're seeing every single time down. Here's what we're seeing every single time down. I think basically, the Bucks need to take away at least one of the big three from the Suns, whether it be Booker, Chris Paul, or Ayton. In game one, they didn't do either of it. We were talking about they could have a three-way finals MVP. And to me, if you have Giannis guarding Ayton there as the role man, you're kind of daring the Suns to beat you with Jay Crowder. And, like, Jay Crowder's the fifth option in the Suns' starting lineup. I would rather him take shots than basically anybody else. If it's going to be an Ayton dunk, no thank you. Mikal Bridges is a better outside shooter than Jay Crowder, and Chris Paul and Devin Booker obviously lights out anytime they're in the flow. So I would like to see the Bucks switch up the matchups a little bit here because they got to get a little bit more from Brook Lopez. He's one of the best players on the Bucks. You got to play your best players a lot. He can't just go for 22 minutes.
Lee, anything to add?
Just going back to the free throws there, because Mike Budenholzer was asked about it, and he was cautious in sort of calling out the disparity there. I don't think he's been fined. I haven't seen anything. I don't think they're going to fine him either. But it is a big it was a big factor in game one. The Suns got to line a lot, and the Bucks didn't. And Chris Middleton got zero free throws, and I think that is something that you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So I wonder if that is something that does change here in game two, that the refs give maybe a few more calls there to Milton, because I thought he was unlucky a few times. And it can be one of those swinging factors in a game. And you know, the Suns outplayed the Bucks in game one, but certainly there was a big discrepancy there. So we'll see how the whistle goes in game two.
Well, speaking of unlucky, Suns forward Dario Saric suffered a torn ACL in his right knee in game one of the finals. He's out indefinitely. 5-year vet. He came into the finals averaging about 5 points in 11 minutes per game. So obviously not filling up the box score, but that's a good 10 or 11 you were getting from him. He was their backup center there behind Ayton. So, you know, maybe this sounds like a silly question because some people are like, what? Dario Saric? Are you kidding me? But how do the Suns adjust, Lee, to the loss of him, to your backup center going down, what will Monty Williams and the Suns coaching staff do, you think?
Yeah, so Frank Kaminsky didn't have a good run in game one, and he is their next sort of automatic big, but I'll be surprised if we do see him here in game two. I think instead Monty Williams will pretty much just go small in the minutes that Ayton is out. Now, if Ayton is not in foul trouble, that won't be a huge problem here for Phoenix, but if he was to get in foul trouble and they had to play extended minutes with small ball, that could potentially give the Bucks a chance inside. But when you look at some of the players who will probably play as their five in that in those minutes, Torrey Craig, he's 6'7". You know, Cam Johnson, 6'8" as well. So those are the sort of guys I think are going to fill in more so than Frank the Tank. Frank might get a handful of minutes. Maybe Monty's feeling generous and says, let's see if you can be better than you were in game one. But I think ultimately the Suns will just instead try to go fairly small ball for that period and sort of almost dare the Bucks to beat them inside, because if Brook Lopez is out there and there's no one who can stop him, I think the Bucks have to attack the paint. But we didn't see a lot of that in game one. So I don't think it's a huge concern here for Phoenix. I think they feel that they can play okay with those minutes where Ayton is on the bench.
Tass, is this a concern at all for the Phoenix Suns, Sarge going down for the rest of the series?
I think Dario Saric plays bigger than his size when he gets in there. He's a tough dude. So you don't lose a lot when he's on the floor. Kaminsky doesn't really play that same way. So, yeah, I it would concern me, but I think Ayton's minutes just go up. He just has to play more. So it's not a huge concern. But I think if you try and go small, I think you could get hurt on the glass. Like Brook Lopez did have 5 offensive rebounds in game one. That number could go up even higher. Ayton... Yeah, he plays around the 40-minute mark every single game throughout the postseason anyways. If he has to go to 43, 44, so be it. I mean, he's played as much as 42 this postseason. So, yeah, I think you just see more Ayton because, the alternative is a little scary. Even if it's not Brook Lopez, it is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, they're monstrous
big
guys.
Yeah.
So they could get hurt. More Ayton, probably.
Yeah, if Kaminsky isn't playing in these backup center minutes, Trey, it's Torrey Craig. I doubt we'll see their other big guy. Smith?
Yeah.
I don't think Monty Williams would do that. But Torrey Craig, he was fine in game one. He's been fine at other times in this postseason run. I think Monty Williams is content with he can give us 10 minutes.
I don't think this is a big concern here. I think Frank Kaminsky, maybe he'll get a little taste in the first half. Let it fly, Frank. That's what you're best at. Shoot a 3-pointer. If it goes in, maybe you get to play one more minute. If not, though, that guy's a walking mismatch for the Suns, unfortunately, because it's a bucket anytime he's out there. But this is not a concern. Play Ayton, 40-plus minutes. You got 2 days off after here. You can run Cam Johnson for some more minutes. You can run Torrey Craig for some more minutes and stagger things with Jay Crowder. Like, he can guard a small ball 5. He can guard Bobby Portis. That's not something that the Suns really need to be worried about. And there's a nice little rest after this. So run Ayton into the ground. Have him ready for game 3 as well.
Well, did you look up the Frank Kaminsky player prop bet for tonight, like a sicko Cam Stortwood with PJ Tucker in the first quarter? Because that's my final question here. We had a lot of fun doing this for game one. What's your favorite player prop bet for game two of the NBA Finals, Trey? Is there one for Frank the Tank Kaminsky?
Hold on. Let me pull
1.5 points over first quarter.
I got to pull this up. I'm going deep here. PJ Tucker's over under is 4.5 points. Oh, man.
For the game.
For the game. Take the over. Take the over on PJ Tucker. I wasn't even expecting that. Wow. Frank Kaminsky doesn't even make the list here.
Oh, wow.
That's tough. That's a tough look for Frank. For me, my prop bet that I actually really do like, Brook Lopez over 12.5 points. Brook hasn't been excellent in game twos, but he's been pretty solid lately. He's got 13 or more points in 6 of his last 10 games. 50% or better shooting in each of his last 6 games. And to me, when the Bucks decide to play to their strengths, that's when Brook Lopez has really big games. And I expect to see a little bit more of that tonight. He only played 22 minutes in game one, but he still scored 17 points, hit 4 threes. And I think he needs to play more in game two. It always feels like the solution for the Bucks is go small. But that means you're taking one of your best players off the court. And there's a center out there for him to match up against. That's the other thing. It's not like the Suns are playing small the entire time. Right. They got a big guy in DeAndre Ayton out there. I think Lopez can handle closer to 30 minutes, and I think he'll score tonight.
Okay, so 12.5 points over you're taking for Brook Lopez in game two. Lee, what do you got your eye on tonight?
Yes, well, for a player prop bet, I am going to go with the low-hanging fruit, I think, on this one, and just take Chris Paul. He is, where is it here? I've got it here. He is the first field goal plus 450.
God, could be eight. This first field goal.
Yeah.
What are you doing, man? Just yeah. Give me over under.
No. I want Chris Paul for that because, again, this is, I think the Suns really just want to, you know, hammer home the advantage they have here. And Chris Paul, as we saw in game one, I don't think he's going to wait to the third quarter. He's going to get this one done early on. So Chris Paul plus 450. Just
okay, you know, Lee. I gotta clarify here. Do you think it's going to be a 2-pointer or a 3-pointer? Because there is a prop bet for the exact method as well.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Okay. What's the prop?
I plus 1200 for a 2. Plus 4000. For a 3.
Jesus, Lee.
You know what? Wow. Let's live a little. Let's
gamble. You're crazy,
man. It's gonna be a Chris Paul 3-pointer at the end of the shot clock. That's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be one of those ones where he flings it up.
Let me see if there's a shot clock stipulation on here as well.
And hold on, this has to be. It's the first basket of the game, right? It's not just the Suns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're crazy,
yeah.
Ellis.
Yeah. Really are, listen, gambling when you've got absolutely nothing at stake is pretty easy. It's a whole lot of fun too, because it's like, oh, who cares? PJ Tucker didn't score the other night. I didn't lose a thing. But if I had won, people said, oh my god, wow, you know.
It's true.
So, but you're going against what you said in game one, that Brook Lopez would win the tip. You're thinking DeAndre Ayton's going to come back.
Not necessarily, Tess. Exactly. I think Brook does win the tip again, but I think the Bucks. I don't think the Bucks score. I think I think they miss. Chris Middleton misses a mid-ranger, and then the Suns come down and it's late in the clock, and it gets a Chris Paul step from the top right-hand corner of the three-point line.
I would like a podcast where you predict every single play of the game. Who makes the 15th field goal for the Suns?
Simulation with Ellis.
I know you didn't look this up, Lee, but Chris Paul did take the first shot for the Phoenix Suns last game.
In game one?
Yeah, okay. He missed, but that's a good side.
You know, okay,
yeah,
exactly. All right. Exactly. Lee Sand, 3 on the right wing there from Chris Paul. First basket made in game 2 of the NBA Finals. Tass, do you have a player prop bet that's got your eye? I got some dollar signs lined up.
I'm jumping on that Brook Lopez bandwagon. His rebound total is 5.5. Got to go over. Hit the over.
Okay.
He had 6 in game 1, and he only played 22 minutes. I expect him to play more. I expect him to be... not switching as much out on the perimeter. I think he'll be hanging out in the lane a little bit more with DeAndre Ayton, so he won't be guarding Chris Paul like they did last game, or they'll be fighting and they switch back. They'll definitely get Lopez in the lane more. And the Suns do go a little bit small, that bodes well for Brook Lopez on the offensive glass. He had 5 offensive rebounds. That's nearly the line right there.
Yeah, didn't he have weren't like at least above half of those on like one possession? Like the old classic
tip
the canoe.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's still getting it. That can happen again.
That's what Ayton did to get the beef, and they didn't give it to him. He tipped it before Chris Paul got it. I mean, it's... I don't know how they count
it. He did not secure the rebound. It's a little different, like, because that's a rebound. Like, he's almost by the free throw line where that thing's bouncing to. Where these ones with Brook, like, you see it all the time. It's like, you know, the Moses Malone, basically. Yeah. Just missing a bunch of layups, but you're getting a rebound every time because you're taking a shot. Okay, so, putting a lot of money on Brook Lopez tonight. The points, the rebounds, I guess the jump ball we're saying again, and then Lee has Chris Paul hitting the first shot of the game, and it is a 3-pointer, plus 4,000. Amazing. This guy just loves you liking... Living and dying by the first made field goal of the game. I don't know why.
Well, you know, when you like the Super Bowl, you have all those prop bets. And the same in Aussie rules when you have the grand final. Yeah, well, I think we've done that, Skeetsy, at the pub there. You know, it's like first goal scorer and, you know, first team. It's always fun because you're like, oh, come on. You're into it from the start. And if you win, then you're set for life.
Okay. You're set for life. I love it. Set for life. Let's hear from the stream team.
Set for life. I just made $1 million strictly betting on the Bucks to win the jump ball in the NBA Finals.
Well,
you know, there's a great video of Cam Stewart out there, basically someone recording him throughout the day of the Super Bowl. Starts off, oh man, he's up here, and then the crash.
Cam Stewart is taking over this podcast. It used to be all about Mo Birdie, but it's all yeah. I don't have this in the show notes, but let's get it out there for the record. Do you think the Bucks tie this series up tonight, TK? Or is it going back to Milwaukee, them down 2-0?
I think we get a bounce back game for the Bucks. They look a lot better. And we go back to Milwaukee 0-2.
Oh,
still a Suns win.
Okay. Tass, what do you think?
I think we get a bounce back game for the Milwaukee Bucks, and we go back to Milwaukee 1-1.
Oh,
yeah, this guy's got Bucks in six. He needs a 1-1, I would say.
I need it, man. I'm trying to get set for life. I put so much money on the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, Jesus, man. That's why you're having to pull shirts off your bob. This guy's already got a lot of money on the line. Lee, who do you got tonight?
Let's hope the Bucks win. It would be great for the series if Milwaukee does get the split going back there. So let's hope so. And let's go to Milwaukee 1-1. Let's have some fun. I can't wait for that Game 3 first basket. I'm already thinking about it.
Oh, wow. He's thinking ahead to Sunday night. Fascinating.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, so bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I
did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDucks.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Yeah, TK, Tweet of the Night, man. What do you got? I hope there were some good tweets last night.
Some solid tweets. I got to preface this Tweet of the Night by letting you guys on a little bit of news that I found out. Tampa Bay Lightning won their second straight Stanley Cup last night. Congratulations to Vincent Lecavalier, Martin St. Louis, and Manon Raym.
They don't still play with them, do they?
No. They don't?
No, those are the only guys, I think.
Yeah, right.
Manon Raym.
So congrats to them. Back-to-back jacks for the Lightning. They say Lightning never strikes twice. Put it on a headline, Rovell. Are you kidding me? Anyways, our Tweet of the Night comes from Drew Ham, Jose Calderon's favorite tweeter. Who cares about the tweet? Look at this guy's hat. This is people celebrating in the streets last night. This guy shows up on an NBC News news channel wearing a hat that just simply says, "Show me that butthole." Show me that five hole is what it should say for a hockey fan out there. I don't know what to add, guys. This guy was wearing a pretty funny hat, and I saw it when I was looking through some tweets, and it made me laugh. I sent it to JD. He hit me with an LOL. That's all we needed for a tweet of the night. My second part of the tweet, though, I got to ask. Can you name a single player on the 2021 Tampa Bay Lightning?
Nikita, there's a Nikita.
Ooh, that's a good one. Nikita Kucherov.
And I only know that because I think he was talking some shit to the Canadians, like, because they like celebrated their game, what, 4 victory down 3-0. I don't even know if I have that right.
Hey, man.
I don't even know if I have his name
right. You nailed his first name immediately.
Okay. Oh, his last
That's
name.
That's huge to me. That was like a one-timer. Yeah. Another hockey term for you right there. Any others? Any other names out there?
And I got nothing. Nikolai Habibulin. No.
Wait, is he one of their goalies?
No, he's old. He's an old goalie.
The only name I recognized when I was scrolling through on hockey-reference.com. Great name. Great American player. Pat Maroon. Just a cool name.
Pat Maroon. He's on the team.
Well, he's on the roster. I don't actually know if he's on the team.
Cool.
Big Pat Maroon fan, but I'm also a big fan of that guy's hat. Let's see that hat one last time.
One more.
Just real quick. Let's see this guy's hat.
Somebody I saw tweet about this hat that this guy is Tampa's number one accountant. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. I think it was Celebrity Hot Dog. And show me that butthole. It looks like a marquee, you know, like a movie. Show me that butthole.
Game show.
Or a game show.
Yeah, it's going to be on. Right, I think you should leave season 3, I think.
Congrats to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Back to back.
That's huge.
I didn't even know that. So, can they three-peat, you think? Is the squad coming back?
yeah. I was checking out the salaries pages on hockeyhype.com, and I see they got Kucherov and Maroon are both coming back next season, so Lightning might strike thrice.
Put on
a headline,
very
Rovell.
Nice. Let's call it there. End it with some hockey talk. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Let's hear if you agree or disagree with Lili's 12, I guess is what we got to there before we started doing the hoodie I got. 12 automatic additions to what we expect to be the 75 greatest players in NBA history list. Hopefully, again, it comes out in the summer, early next season, or maybe around the All-Star break. We got the 75th anniversary season, so you'd expect we're getting that. But let's hear who you agree or disagree with from his list in the comments below this video. Send in your questions and your comments to nodunks@theathletic.com for our next Beach Steppin' podcast. Get your merch, your No Dunks merch, over at nodunks.com. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to break down game 2 of the NBA Finals in detail live here on YouTube at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then, of course, a little bit later, as soon as JD can turn it around and get it up in your podcast feeds. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, this is the time of year where we start Googling hockey players. And I think we have to renounce our Canadian citizenship. Steven Stamkos leading the Tampa Bay Lightning. We should know that.
Oh,
legend.
Wow.
Legend Steven Stamkos.
Is
Don't
he brother?
Call me Steve.
Well, is he brothers with John?
with John Cochran? What was John Stamos's other name in the show? It was Cochran, right?
Was it?
No, like Katsopoulos.
Katsopoulos?
Yeah, Jesse Katsopoulos.
Yeah, Jesse Cochran. I was saying John Cochran. Yeah,
John Cochran.
Screw it. Johnny and Jesse.
Different show.
Pass me some Oikos.
Hey, cut it out. Brace the day, people.